Good morning. It's a Monday, and it is Kale and Company live on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. A delight to have you along with us. Hope everyone had a wonderful weekend and that you made it safely through your travels. And speaking of travels, all lanes of Interstate 89 North were temporarily closed this morning after a fuel tanker rolled over, blocking all lanes of the highway. However, one lane was reopened just before 7:15 in the area. The driver of the tanker was taken to a hospital with minor injuries. No other vehicles were involved in the crash. And it says here, this is a report from WMUR, that the tanker was carrying washer fluid. So just one lane open, I-89 northbound, as a result of that rollover earlier this morning. Kale & Company is presented by Northeast Delta Dental. Northeast Delta Dental has individual and family plans designed to fit your lifestyle. Learn more and find your plan at DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. And we are delighted to have back on the program my good friend Sue McPhee. Sue, good morning to you.
Well, and good morning to you.
I'm glad you won't be traveling on 89 North this morning.
No, me too. Washer fluid, huh?
That's what it says. Yeah, washer fluid.
Goodness. Yeah. Well, that'll make for a clean highway.
I guess so. I guess so. Probably needed a cleanup, right? But not in this fashion, right?
No.
Fortunately, it doesn't appear as if anyone was hurt, so that's a good thing.
That was my next question. Thank goodness.
At least seriously. Well, we are going to talk about improv today. And just a brief definition. Improv is short for, of course, improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
It's spontaneous ensemble theater. It's an art form.
Yeah.
An art form where the performers make up the production as they go along.
Pretty much, usually.
It's comedy on the spot, correct? For the most part. It doesn't have to be, but...
Well, that's an interesting question or phrase. We don't set out to try and be funny. By following the directions of the improv workshop leader or improvisation leader, it ends up naturally being funny. It's just a hoot. So, you know, when I start off telling them what improv is, that we set up some guidelines. Oh, no, rules. No, not rules, guidelines. And the guidelines include not trying to be funny, because if you follow the directions of the particular exercise, it's going to be hilarious. It's almost a guarantee. So a professional, like Drew Carey's show that he had there, right. What line? Whose line is it anyway?
Sure, yeah.
These were professional performers. And I do believe in watching some of the previous clips of old shows that I think they knew what they were going to be doing ahead of time. So improv is not that, really. It's on the fly.
Yep.
So I'll give somebody, for instance, a scene, and they're going to just sort of respond in the way I guide them to whatever comes to their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other person, if they're doing a two-person scene or a two-person little exercise, will just respond with whatever comes up for them. So you're really flying by the seat of your pants.
There you go.
That's like we
do on this show every day.
That's what people do in life.
Improvisational radio right here.
Yes.
On WKXL. But the reason we bring up improv, I must explain why we're talking improv here.
Okay.
It's not out of the blue, because Sue is going to be holding an improv workshop.
That's right.
This coming Saturday, which is, ironically enough, April Fool's Day, from 11 to 1 at the Earth Magic Shop, 39 School Street in Hillsboro. And I know Sue had a very successful intuitive workshop there a couple of weeks back, and that was very successful. Our own Kitty Ray attended that workshop, and it was terrific. She really enjoyed it, and I know you had a pretty good crowd for that one.
I did.
And this week it's improv on April Fool's Day from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to explain to our audience why we were just talking about improv.
Perfect. Why were we talking about it? Because we're going to do it.
That's right.
And how apropos that I chose April Fool's Day.
I don't think that was any accident. I don't think that was an accident. I think that was well conceived and planned by you, Sue McPhee.
I think my intuition might have been kicking in gear, too.
I think probably so, yes. Yeah.
What's fun is that Amanda McDonald, the owner of the shop, and I sat down a couple of months ago, and I made some proposals for workshops, and we chose three. Intuition, which I did Saturday before last. Mm-hmm. This coming one, improv workshop, coming up on Saturday, April 1st. Now, 2 weeks from that is stress management. And in revamping, redesigning the workshops, making sure that I'm presenting appropriate material and a material that will help people, I realized that there is a thread connecting all three. We use our intuition when we improvise, and intuition and improvisation can get us to a point where we can manage our stress better. So it's really kind of cool. But this one's going to be fun. This one's going to be totally fun. And laughter is the best medicine.
It is. There is no doubt about it. And for for folks, I don't know if there's anybody out there who could not be familiar with Sue McPhee, but Sue has pretty much done everything in her career. I mean, from massage, Reiki, intuitive readings. Now, you notice I didn't say psychic, so I said intuitive readings.
Right.
You're a great storyteller and a twice published author. And yeah, the list just goes on and on. I'm just scratching the surface there. But you also, and while you're hosting the improv workshop, you have a theatrical background as well.
I do. I've been in theater for many, many years. It was just something that way back when, you know, life was a little bit rough, I needed some kind of an outlet. And the place I was living was Wrentham, Massachusetts, and a woman decided to start a theater company. It would be adult performers performing shows for children. And I just took that and ran with it. I felt so much better. It was just a wonderful healing experience. And then I couldn't stop. So I've done many, many plays in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, studied theater in New York, took improv workshops all over the place. So it just found it to be so nourishing and so rewarding to create something that an audience can appreciate, laugh, cry, go,
And kids are a great audience, aren't they?
Kids typically are, but adults are too.
Yep.
And what we learned in theater, particularly when I was working in the community theater in Massachusetts, was no audience is the same. I'll give you an example. So we would put together a performance that we had been rehearsing for weeks and weeks, a play, and we'd present it to the Friday night crowd, and they would respond to certain key parts of the play, and we'd be like, wow, didn't think they'd respond to that. So you can't set yourself up by thinking they're going to respond the same way the following night. Saturday night crowd comes in, and it's a whole different experience. So people are different, kids are different in how they respond and respond/react to what you're presenting. And that's the beauty of it. That's the magic of theater. That's the magic of improv. You don't know what's going to come up.
You never know what's going to come next in an improv performance.
In life. So that's why improv
so
is so
true.
Important.
So true. Yeah. Who thought a tanker would be, spread across I-89 this morning, right?
Right. So in improv, you would say, okay, what's my best escape route here. Know the side roads. Have a GPS.
Sue McPhee is with us. We have to take a quick break, but Sue will stay with us, and we'll talk more about the workshop coming up this Saturday in Hillsboro. It's an improv workshop. It should be a lot of fun. Space is still available if you would like to attend, and Sue will tell us more about it after we take a break. It is Kale & Company Live right here on WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental, and we will be right back. Welcome back. It is Kale & Company Live. It's a Monday. Great to have you along with us. Our good friend Sue McPhee has joined us to talk about something very exciting coming up in Hillsboro this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Earth Magic Shop, 39 School Street in Hillsboro. And it's an improv workshop. And Sue, tell us about what those who take the class this Saturday can look forward to.
Sometimes people seem intimidated by coming to a class like this. Oh my gosh, I have no experience in it. What can I expect? The biggest premise is that we provide a safe and non-judgmental environment. Okay, that's one of the guidelines, is that we accept what people say. We go with the flow. What can they do? We're going to be giving them the opportunity. Now, this is for adults. Okay, well, I do children's things other times, but this is an opportunity for it. How many times do adults have a chance to really play? How many people have had an opportunity to play in this whole three-year experience we've had of being isolated, the pandemic, the virus, the money? So now this is an opportunity for adults to play. Let your hair down. Create. In a very safe environment. Become more confident and just plain old have fun. Let it all hang out. So what I'll do is I'll be guiding them very simply, okay? So the first couple of exercises will be really, really simple. I do encourage people to wear comfortable clothing. I will not be giving them exercises where they're going to be rolling on the floor. So if you have a knee issue, an ankle issue, you can participate. It's all okay. All ages from, I would say, I do pretty well with middle school kids, but let's call this adults, okay? Maybe 18 plus, 18 to 105. Come on down and have some fun. So it'll start out with simple ones, and then we build on each thing that happens in the different exercises. By the time we get to, say, maybe 15 or 20 minutes into the program, they're getting more comfortable, they're getting more relaxed. I can give them a little more elaborate, and I don't mean complicated, but a little more meat to the exercises, whereby they're just coming up with stuff on their own, and I'm sitting back and saying, wow, these guys are doing good. I'll give you an example. One of my favorite exercises to run, it's called lines in a pocket, in your pocket. So I've got these pieces of paper. Each person gets 5 folded up pieces of paper. They can't look at them or read them ahead of time. They stick them in their pocket, and they're given a scene. And in the scene, when I say the word ding, or if I might have a little bell to ring, the person speaking has to reach in their pocket, pull out a paper, and read whatever is on that paper. And the other, say that it's a two-person scene, the other person has to react, respond. The very famous rule, I hate to say rule, but guideline of improv is you always respond with yes and. You never give the person a negative no. No, that didn't happen. Say, all right, my favorite one is putting the two people, they're in an imaginary elevator going to the very, very top of the outside of a building, and they're stuck at the top. Okay, so now they're starting to have this conversation. They're looking down. Maybe one of them is... It's up to them to respond with what they're feeling. Okay, so player number one has to pull out one of the lines in the pocket, and they might open up this little piece of paper, and it says, absolutely nothing to do with the scene. I burnt the turkey. No matter what player two is hearing, they've got to respond. They might say something like, yes, and it really tasted terrible, but why are you remembering that now? Things like that. Then it'll switch gears. The player number two will have an opportunity to read a line. And the wackiest things come out. And sometimes it's just one word. Just one word. And the audience goes wild. I had the wonderful privilege of studying some improv, taking some workshops with Betty Lent. Betty Lent is one of the directors at Concord Players, very popular theater here in the Concord area.
They do a great job.
Yes, and she did a great job guiding us into different scenarios. And what she did was, when they had their end, when the players had the end of the year party to celebrate the fact that they did a whole year of plays and things were fun, we got to go in. She took our improv class and invited us to come on stage for the players and start doing some improv. And I don't think there was a single scene, even though we weren't prepared for it. She would just throw out these things like I'm saying now. There wasn't a single player in the group. Now, these are seasoned performers who weren't falling off the chairs laughing. So it's an opportunity to laugh, let it all hang out in a good way. But when they're at my class, they'll also be learning tried and true exercises and activities that professional theater performers engage in as stage warm-ups. So people think, okay, actors, they go home and they study their lines, and they just jump on the stage and they do what they do. They have to warm up, too. You wouldn't run a marathon without a warm-up. You don't go on stage without a warm-up. But some of these warm-ups are just a total blast. My goal and my job, in addition to guiding them, is to provide the safe and accepting environment, non-judgmental. So once we get the ball rolling, they're going to find a certain freedom. Relive the fun moments you had. Bring out the actor and actress in all of us, because we all have it in us. I don't care if they're shy. I don't care if they've never, spoken in public. There is something in all of us that is fun and creative and spontaneous. The spontaneous aspect is one of the lessons that we take home from practicing improv. The ability to be spontaneous. If you have a crisis in your life, like burning the turkey, you got to be able to, what are you going to do? You're going to wing it. In that movie, was it A Christmas Story? The dogs ate the turkey, right? And so what did they do? The family went out for Chinese dinner. Having something in your back pocket to do when something goes awry. So on the stage or on the little playing area that we'll have, I'm not going to call it a stage, that's a little too intimidating, but in the wonderful space that Amanda McDonald provides there at the Earth Magic Shop, we'll get to give ourselves an opportunity to react spontaneously. One of them, and this was intimidating for me. I don't get easily intimidated, but when I presented this workshop at Ollie, are you familiar with Ollie? OLLI?
Yes, I am.
Good.
The Osher Lifelong Living Institute.
Yes, it is. Learning Institute.
Very
and
familiar.
There are many.
Yes.
Many throughout the state, but there's one in Concord that's held at the Granite State College.
Right.
So I went and presented that one. Well, one of the women in the class, one of the participants, was not a program director, but a person who arranged activities and programs for her group. Her group happened to be Granite State Clowns.
Huh. Talk about improv.
Talk about improv. So she says, I think my group would love to have you come and teach this class. I'm like, teach improv to clowns? Are you kidding? They do this all day long. So she said, no, they're going to love this class. I'm like, oh my gosh, I was shaking in my shoes. So I brought the same material, handed it over, presented it to the clowns, and even those professional, well-seasoned clowns still had an opportunity to let their hair down and have fun. Because in improv, you don't know what's going to come up. And that's the beauty of it. That's the laughter of it. And again, I'm going to repeat, laughter is the best medicine.
That it is. No doubt about that. And the important thing is, you don't need any theatrical background to attend this class on Saturday.
Absolutely nothing. And you bring You bring a body, yours.
That's it. That's all you need. Your body and your mind. That's
you
it.
You bring a body. Or you can even leave your mind at home. It can be mindless.
Oh, okay. It can be mindless. Okay.
Yeah, because it's like, so spontaneous. And the worst thing that somebody can do is be sitting in the background. It's not their tune yet. It's be thinking, oh, well, when I get up there, I'm going to say blah, 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 blah. Because you have no idea how quick I'm going to twist the game around.
There you go. And I know you can twist things around quickly, Psychic Sue.
I do.
So we're running out of time in this segment.
Okay.
So tell
the
folks how they can register for this class on April Fool's Day coming up.
For April Fools. Yep. You want to register ahead of time. We've kept the class as the other one, as all my classes are, low priced. $30 at the door, but $25 if you pre-register. You can pre-register. There's a link on my Facebook page. My Facebook page is Sue Fortin, F-O-R-T-I-N, McPhee, M-C-P-H-E-E. A secondary thing you can do is to call the store. You can call the shop itself and talk to Amanda. Her number there at the store is 603-680-4097. That's 603-680-4097. Or go to Sue Fortin McPhee Facebook page and click on the sign-up link. We want you there.
All right. Sounds like a lot of fun, Sue. It's always great to have you on. And one of these days, in the not-too-distant future, I promise you, Sue McPhee will be in this studio with me, and she will be doing intuitive readings for our WKXL listeners.
Live and in person.
Live and in person. Sue, thanks so much, and have a blast on Saturday. I know you will, and I know the participants will as well.
Yes, I do too. I'm confident. Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Sue. Always, always great to chat with you. Take care.
Thank you.
That is
a lot.
Sue McPhee. You can find her on Facebook at Sue Fortin, F-O-R-T-I-N, McPhee, M-C-P-H-E-E. We'll take a break. We'll talk a little weekend sports because there was a lot of it. Kale & Company Live will continue after these words. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental right here on WKXL and NHTalkRadio.com. Kale & Company Live here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental. Northeast Delta Dental has individual and family plans designed to fit your lifestyle. Learn more and find your plan at DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. What a weekend it was. A whirlwind weekend in the world of sports. Celtics and Bruins, both winners on Sunday evening. Celtics had one of their most lopsided wins in franchise history on Sunday, 137-93. That's a 44-point win over Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs at TD Garden. Jaylen Brown led the way for the Celtics. He had 41 points and 13 rebounds in that one. Jason Tatum had the night off for the Celtics as he was trying to help his knee get better. And the Celtics, did okay without him. They won the game by 44 points. So Celtics trail Milwaukee now by a game and a half for the best record in the Eastern Conference, also the best record in the NBA. Celtics will take on the Washington Wizards, an improved Washington Wizards team, tomorrow night in our nation's capital. By the way, during the second quarter of that Celtics-San Antonio game last night at TD Garden, Brian Scalabrine and Mike Gorman, the Celtics TV broadcasters, were joined by Concord's own Matt Bonner, who does some television work for the San Antonio Spurs, and he was at the TD Garden last night. Always good to see the Red Mamba, Matt Bonner, anywhere. But he said it was his lifelong dream to be on a Celtics television broadcast. So There you go. In Raleigh, North Carolina, yesterday, the Bruins' David Pastrnak scored his 50th and 51st goals of the season as the Bees defeated the Carolina Hurricanes by a score of 4-3 in a shootout. The other Bees goal scorer in regulation was Jacob Lauko. It was his fourth of the year. Great performance by Jeremy Swayman between the pipes, making 34 saves as the Bees up their incredible record to 57-11-5. Far and away, the best record in all of the National Hockey League. What a season the Boston Bruins have had. Let us hope it carries forward into the postseason. Bees will be hosting Nashville tomorrow night, the Nashville Predators at TD Garden at 7 o'clock. By the way, the Carolina Hurricanes, formerly the Hartford Whalers, wore old, replica, I should say, not old, they were new jerseys, but replica Hartford Whalers jerseys yesterday. Those, I love them, the green Hartford Whalers jerseys, those throwback jerseys, and it brought back a lot of memories of when the Whalers played in Hartford. I just wonder if they played the famous Whalers theme song during the course of yesterday's game in Raleigh, North Carolina. That would be the Brass Bonanza. Everybody loved the Brass Bonanza back in the day. So, Final Four, men's college basketball, March Madness. And boy, was it ever madness. Final Four is set for next weekend. And if you predicted these four teams to be in the Final Four, and you put any kind of money on your prediction, you're probably very happy right now. But I don't think there were too many of you out there that predicted these four teams to be in the Final Four. And that's what makes March Madness so great. For the first time ever, not one single number one seed in a regional advanced to the Elite Eight. There was not one number one seed in the Elite Eight of the tournament. Of course, none in the Final Four either. Just an incredible tournament it has been so far. So San Diego State and Miami, the U, as they call it, punched their tickets to Houston yesterday. Houston is where the Final Four is going to be this coming weekend. As the Aztecs of San Diego State defeated Creighton 57-56, another nail-biter, while the Miami Hurricanes down Texas 88-81. So that means Saturday's national semifinals, Saturday coming up, ninth-seeded Florida Atlantic. The Owls of Florida Atlantic out of Boca Raton, Florida, will take on number 5 San Diego State at 6:09 p.m. on Saturday. And at around 8:49, the number 5 Miami Hurricanes will take on the University of Connecticut Huskies. My Huskies defeated on Saturday, Gonzaga. Not only did they defeat Gonzaga, they destroyed Gonzaga on Saturday, 82-54. That was in the West Regional Final, and that was after Florida Atlantic shocked Kansas State 79-76. So for the first time, I believe it's in 9 years, UConn is going to the Final Four. And folks, if you picked Florida Atlantic, San Diego State, Miami, and UConn to go to the Final Four, you're probably in pretty good shape financially if you put any amount of money on that Final Four, which I don't think very many had. Grapefruit League yesterday, Minnesota Twins beat the Red Sox and Chris Sale. 7-2 was the final in that one. Chris Sale went five innings in that game, upwards of 70 pitches. Allowed five hits, two runs, walked two, struck out three. Chris Sale will not be the Red Sox opening day starter on Thursday at Fenway against the Orioles. Instead, Sale will pitch game number two of the season, and that will be against the Baltimore Orioles Saturday afternoon at Fenway Park. Red Sox open up the regular season. Would you believe it? It is the earliest starting date for baseball in the history of Fenway Park. March 30th will be the date. And two-time Cy Young Award winner Corey Kluber will be on the mound for the Red Sox against the Baltimore Orioles at Fenway Park. Meantime, the Red Sox are winding up the Grapefruit League season. They will take on the Atlanta Braves today in Northport, Florida. A lot of sad news over the weekend as well, as rescuers race Saturday to search for survivors and help hundreds of people left homeless after a powerful tornado cut a devastating path through Mississippi, killing at least 25 people, injuring dozens, and flattening entire blocks as it carved a path of destruction for more than an hour. One person was killed in Alabama, in addition to the 25 killed in Mississippi. The tornado devastated a swath of the Mississippi Delta town of Rolling Fork, reducing homes to piles of rubble, flipping cars on their sides, and toppling the town's water tower. Residents hunkered down in bathtubs and hallways during Friday night's storm, and later broke into a John Deere store that they converted into a triage center for the wounded. It was just absolutely nothing left in that area. Based on early data, the tornado received a preliminary EF4 rating. The National Weather Service office in Jackson, Mississippi, said late Saturday in a tweet, the EF4 tornado had top wind gusts between 166 and 200 miles per hour, according to the service. The Jackson office cautioned it was still gathering information on that devastating tornado over the weekend. And our thoughts and prayers are with those people in Mississippi and a portion of Alabama as well. We'll take a break. I know we didn't mention NCAA hockey during that last segment. There's a good reason for it, because we're going to mention it in our next segment with our good friend John Leahy, the voice of the Merrimack Warriors, who made it to the NCAA tournament this year. We'll take a break. Kale and Company continues on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com, presented by Northeast Delta Dental. Welcome back. Kale and Company live here on a Monday. What a frantic and frenetic weekend it was in the world of sports. And certainly that would apply to the NCAA college hockey tournament, which took place in four locations over the weekend. And John Leahy, our good friend, was at one of those locations in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And John, welcome back to the show. Great to have you along with us.
Ken, I always appreciate the opportunity to chat. Thanks again for having me.
Well, John, you traveled to the Total Mortgage Arena in beautiful downtown Bridgeport, Connecticut on Friday. And your Merrimack Warriors, who had a tremendous regular season, finishing in second place in Hockey East, they took on the Bobcats of Quinnipiac. Unfortunately, came up a little short, but what a season it was for your club.
Yeah, it sure was, Ken. It was a season that was marked by exceeded expectations. You know, it was a tremendous season, and we just faced a buzzsaw in Quinnipiac, and got to tip your hat to the Bobcats. They played very well, and they deserve to move on.
And they are moving on. They're moving on to the Frozen Four. And I must mention, as you well know, John, their head coach, Rand Pecknold, is a native of Bedford, New Hampshire. And Rand has coached Quinnipiac. When they were a Division II team, he made the transition with them from Division II to Division I and did it very successfully.
Yeah, he sure did. And he picked up his 612th career victory as a head coach against Merrimack on Friday. They, of course, went on yesterday to defeat Ohio State, and that punches their ticket to the Frozen Four. And we have four great teams in the Frozen Four down in Tampa, Ken. So I'm really looking forward to these two matchups.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And of all the games played over the weekend, there was just one overtime game, which is a little surprising, but that turned out to be the last game that was completed last night.
Yeah, Michigan beat Penn State. It didn't even take them 1 minute in the overtime to win that game. But yeah, I was surprised at that as well. Usually you have multiple overtime games, but this time there was only one, and Michigan prevailed. Great season for Penn State. They call it Hockey Valley down there now. it was a tremendous game, and I'm happy for the four teams that advanced.
I know they were disappointed in Allentown because it's about 2.5 hours away from State College, the home of Penn State. But what a run for the Nittany Lions, not a school you always associate with college hockey.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised that this team got to be where they are. They've got a tremendous coach in Guy Gadowski, and they've been getting better year by year. And, of course, they play in the Big Ten. Big Ten was highly represented in this tournament, yep. And we're going to have two Big Ten teams going to Tampa. So, yeah, it was tremendous, and I enjoyed watching.
So the matchups, the Big Ten team in one of the matchups at 5 o'clock, this will be at the Amalie Arena in a couple of weeks. It's not this coming weekend. It's the following weekend. And on that Thursday in the semifinals at 5 o'clock, it'll be Minnesota taking on Boston University, a team that you are very familiar with, John Leahy, having come out of the Hockey East, and tell us about your thoughts on the Minnesota BU matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be tremendous. What a year for Boston University. Jay Pandolfo takes over there, and he takes the Terriers to the Frozen Four in his first year. I believe only Jack Parker and he were the only two that did that, but BU is going to be a tough out. They have an incredible freshman in Lane Hudson, who scored the game-winning goal to knock Merrimack out at the TD Garden, and they're playing the number one overall seed in Minnesota. And I'm just surprised this is the early game. I would have thought this would have been the late game.
Yeah,
but it's going to be a very close game, probably decided by one goal. I can tell you that I am rooting for BU. Being a Hockey East guy, I'd love to see the Terriers capture the whole thing. But it's going to be a tremendous game. That's the 5 o'clock game on Thursday, April 6th.
So there you go. On April 6th at 5 o'clock, the Terriers and Minnesota going at it. And Minnesota, the number one overall seed in the tournament. And then the nightcap on the 6th will be Michigan, the overtime winner last night over Penn State, and the Bobcats of Quinnipiac. And, boy, that should be a very intriguing matchup right there.
Yeah, you're talking about a Michigan team that scored 11 goals against Colgate in the first game of their regional. And then the Wolverines could only manage two yesterday, but that was one more than Penn State. And Quinnipiac has just impressed me. They've only lost four games all season. Their goaltender, Yanni Perez, has 21 career shutouts, and he's only a sophomore.
Hmm.
And so Quinnipiac is loaded. And in my bracket, I have Quinnipiac winning the whole thing. So, you're going to see a tremendous hockey game between Michigan and Quinnipiac, and very worthy of the nightcap game.
Yep, no doubt about that. It's going to be a very entertaining Frozen Four in Tampa, Florida. And that'll be a lot of fun to watch. And two outstanding matchups. I'm sorry that Merrimack is not there, but again, it was a great run for the Warriors. And you have to think, John, that the future is bright for that Merrimack team.
Well, I'd like to hope so. You know, with every offseason comes changes.
Sure.
You lose guys, you gain guys. Scott Borick was very active in the transfer portal this past year, bringing in five very good players. So I anticipate that's going to continue. If you're Merrimack, you've got to be happy for the fact that both of your goaltenders are coming back next year. So that's huge. And we'll see what Scott does to adjust the roster. But we're very happy in North Andover with the season we had, and hopefully we can build on it and go further next year.
Yep, no doubt about it. You made it to the NCAA tournament for the first time in a number of years, and that is certainly a great step in the right direction. Did you think about this, John? You could have the NCAA Frozen Four champion and the NCAA men's basketball champion from the state of Connecticut. You could have Quinnipiac and UConn.
Yeah, that's something, isn't it? I find myself really pulling for UConn in this basketball tournament. UConn's hockey team, of course, is in Hockey East. It's hard not to be sympathetic with the underdogs. I understand that. But, yeah, Connecticut could wind up with both. And I think Quinnipiac has an excellent chance to win this thing. And they are my pick to win it. And in my bracket, I believe I had Quinnipiac beating Minnesota in the championship game. So we will see. However, I am rooting for the Terriers.
They are at Quinnipiac, from what I saw over the weekend, just an amazing team defensively. I mean, they don't give you very many good looks during the course of a hockey game.
Well, they're the number one defensive team in the country.
Well, that's probably why.
Yeah, I believe they were averaging 1.6 goals against. And if you take a look at their goals against for all the games this season, it is just insane. They gave up five goals at North Dakota in October. They gave up four goals in a game at Maine in October. And I think there were only a couple of times that they gave up three goals in a game. So can you imagine, Ken, most of the games they played, they gave up either zero, one, or two goals. It's just simply amazing.
It truly is. I mean, it truly is. When you look at, even from what we saw this weekend, some of the goal totals given up in games by these very, very good teams involved in the NCAA regionals. There were some high-scoring games, but not Quinnipiac. They gave up one goal in the two games they played in Bridgeport over the weekend. And I'll tell you that they are. John, I would have to agree with you. They are going to be a force to be reckoned with, as they have been all season, pretty much, with a 34-3 record. I mean, that record's almost as good as the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you take a look at the goal Ohio scored in the game yesterday, it was a shot that just barely went in. And Peretz made the initial save, I think, and they were able to bang it in. But that's all they got. You're right, Ken. Quinnipiac gave up one on the whole weekend. And it's going to get tougher for them with Michigan and then either Minnesota or BU. But I'll be interested to see if the Bobcats continue on that defensive trend.
Well, it would be hard to believe that they wouldn't continue along that trend. And I think the Wolverines certainly have their work cut out for them on April 6th in Tampa, Florida. It'd be fun to see an all-New England matchup with BU out of Hockey East and Quinnipiac out of the ECAC. That's what I'm pulling for.
Yeah, and I think it's very possible you could see that. Boston University is the hottest team in the country right now. If you're not familiar with the play of Lane Hudson, the Terrier rookie, you're in for a treat. This kid's a Hobey Baker nominee as a freshman. And he is a tremendous player, and it's going to be a tremendous semifinal and final.
Has he been drafted yet, John?
I believe he has.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So he is something to watch. He really is. And he has a brother on the team as well.
Yeah, I believe Lane is a Montreal draft choice, if I remember correctly. So keep an eye on him for sure.
Absolutely. Well, John, thanks so much for your insight, as always. And we will have you back and analyzing the Frozen Four coming up in a couple of weeks at Tampa. You going to be there, John?
No, I'm sitting this one out, Ken.
All right.
I'm going to take a break.
I guess so. Well, John, thanks so much for all you've done during the season. We'll have you back real soon.
Ken, I truly appreciate it. Thanks, and we'll talk down the road.
All right. John Leahy, longtime voice of the Merrimack College Warriors. And that'll do it for this edition of Kale & Company. Thanks to Sue McPhee. Thanks to John Leahy. It rhymes. Kale & Company, presented by Northeast Delta Dental. Thank you so much for joining us here on this Monday. If you missed any of the show or just want to hear it again, right after 7 o'clock tonight on WKXL and NHTalkRadio.com. Have a fantastic Monday, everybody.